Orville Freestone Jr., Sunday PM, January 3rd, 2013.
Turn in your Bibles to the 6th chapter of the book of Judges, where we find the next occurrence of one of the titles for God, his revelation to his people in the context of where their lives are at that time. And that is the way he has always revealed himself, is in the context of living, in the context of where his people are in their living and in their knowledge at that time. So in the 6th chapter of the book of Judges and verse 22, when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord that had appeared unto him, Gideon said, "Alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face." That is, he thought he was at his end. And the Lord said unto him, "Peace be unto thee," that is, shalom. "Fear not, thou shalt not die." Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord, and called it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day it is yet in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. In this 6th chapter of Judges, we see the calling, the equipping, and the arming of Gideon, and of the victory for the people of God. But the background of this is the previous chapters of the book of Judges as to why they found themselves in this predicament in the first place. The book of the Judges is a dreary book, and it is a book of failure after failure after failure, or I should say rebellion after rebellion after rebellion. And in the 2nd chapter of Judges, in verse 10, we read, verse 8, "And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres in the Mount Ephraim on the north side of the hill of Gaash, not very far from where Gideon's home was. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel." It has been said more times than one, and very truly, that is, each generation is but one generation away from paganism. And if you want to see how that works out, take a look at our own country. Things that 60 years ago were crimes punishable by law, and immoral behavior that was shunned by all, are today acclaimed as normal and protected by law. How did we get this way in 60 years? And it seems to only be accelerating. Judges tells us how and why. And so the inevitable happened. God sent judgment unto them. The period of Judges was a chaotic time. It was also a very long time. It was 400 years from Joshua to Samuel. That is a long time. And there were repeated revivals that God brought to the people of Israel, and repeatedly they turned away from him. And as I said, it was a chaotic time. In the 17th chapter of Judges, and in verse 6, we read, "In those days there was no king in Israel, no central government, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes." Was there ever a time when this was not true in our own country like today? And that is repeated again in chapter 21. So the period of the judges was a chaotic time. It was a time of moral declension. It was a time of turning away from the covenant of God. It was a time of increasing godlessness and libertinism, and it came a time when it was a dangerous time to be alive. Our own country is sliding towards that condition. In the current debate over banning or not banning guns, one of the statistics that was brought forth and has not been disputed is in the city of Chicago, every day there is one or two shootings. Chicago is one of the least safe cities in this country and is becoming increasingly ungodly. So, as has to be, God sent judgment upon the Israelites time and again. And this is one such time. So keep in mind the judgment that this nation is heaping up against itself. The Lord sent the Midianites to overrun Israel. And for some, I believe it is 30 years, Israel was in a chaotic state, and the Midianites did not care to establish themselves as the masters of the land. They did not care to settle in Israel themselves, but they did care to stick around each year until after the Israelites had harvested all their crops, and then they would swoop down upon them and decisively defeat them and take away all of their produce, leaving the Israelites near to starvation and to where that they were living in caves and dens for protection. Now the Midianites were a descendant of Abraham. Would you have thought it? But in the 25th chapter of Genesis, we read that after the death of Sarah and after the marriage of Isaac, then again Abraham took a wife, and her name was Keturah, and she bare him Zimram and Jokshan and Medan and Midian and Ishbak and Shua and Jokshan and Sheba and Dedan. And then the sons of Dedan were Asherim, Letushim, and Leumim. And the sons of Midian, Ephah and Epher and Hanach and Abida and Eldaah. These were the sons, children of Keturah. Now God had told Abraham that he would make of his promised son a great nation. And when Abraham and Sarah took matters in their own hands and Ishmael, the son of the slave girl, was born to Abraham. God told her that her son, after they were dismissed from Abraham's home, would grow to be a great people, the Ishmaelites. And he had told Abraham that he would not only, that he would be the father of many peoples, of many nations. Well, here are many of them, the Ishmaelites, the Zimram and his descendants, Jokshan, Medan, Midian. Yes, he's in Judges. Ishbak, Shua, Jokban, and Sheba, and Dedan. And every one of those descendants of Abraham became bitter enemies of the descendants of Isaac. And the Midianites in this sixth chapter of Judges is one such example. The Midianites overran the land. They were a small tribe, but they were a tribe of desert brigands and robbers. And they made their living by preying upon the less able to defend themselves. And Israel, through their disowning or disavowing the covenant with God and going their own way, had made themselves vulnerable. And we read here the result of it. Then in verse 7, "And it came to pass when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midians." Have you ever known people who would go their own way stubbornly until they got in trouble? And then they'd call on the Christians to pray for them. Pray, 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 pray. So the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, and brought you forth out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drove them out from before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. And there came an angel of the Lord, and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah." Now, nobody knows exactly where Ophrah was, but some of the other place names here place it somewhere not far west of the Jordan River, in the beginning of the Valley of Jezreel, which is in a very lovely part of Israel, south of the Sea of Galilee. So the angel of the Lord came and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. Now they dug winepresses into solid rock, and then they dug or bored a hole on the side of the rock to let the grape juice drain out to take to the fermenting vats. So this was a sump of sort, or a sunken place where he could be down inside of it, threshing this grain out and not be seen. Rather embarrassing, wouldn't you think? And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Sure, mighty man of valor. Sitting in a pit, threshing out grain, so the Midianites wouldn't take it away from him. But God sees not only who we are, but what we can become by faith. And Gideon said unto him, Can't you just hear the complaint? Oh, my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? Why? Where be all the miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hand of the Midianites. I wonder why. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? Now Gideon, as he himself says, was an insignificant man from one of the least significant families in Ephraim. Ephraim had become diminished during the 40 years of exile, of the traveling in the desert, and Manasseh, the brother tribe, had become very populous. So it was a tribe that was in eclipse at this time. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if it be so with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all the miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us. Not we have forsaken the Lord, but the Lord has forsaken us. That makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, that the angel of the Lord had called him, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. And he said unto him, If now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Do not depart hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee and bring forth my present, and set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry until thou art come again. And Gideon went in and made ready a kid, that is, he butchered a young goat, and unleavened cakes, and an ephah of flour. The flesh he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot, and he brought it forth out unto him under the yoke, and presented it. And the angel of God said unto him, Take the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and lay them upon this rock, and pour out the broth, and he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of his staff that was in his hand, and touched the flesh of the unleavened and the unleavened cakes, and there rose up fire out of the rock and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. And then Gideon was frightened. He was scared. And Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord. Gideon said, Alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. Now the angel of the Lord had departed, but he had then said unto him, And the Lord said unto him, Peace be unto thee, that is, shalom. Fear not, thou shalt not die. Then Gideon built an altar and called it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day it is yet in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. Now, Gideon was understandably, I think, daunted by this commission from the Lord. And he, as he says, was an insignificant man from one of the smallest families in Ephraim. But the Lord had appeared unto him. The Lord had commissioned him. But Israel was in a great state of apostasy here. And trouble and privation were on every side. This is not the only place where the Midianites were raiding Israel. They were raiding, scholars think, about two-thirds of the country of Israel. And God appeared unto this insignificant man, and by his commissioning Gideon, he empowered him. And he built an altar there, honoring the angel of the Lord that had appeared unto him, and he named it Jehovah Shalom, which quite literally reads, Jehovah, that is the Lord, is peace. But Israel had no peace, and their country was being ravaged because they had forsaken the covenant of the Lord. They had turned away from the Lord. And yet Gideon recognized the Lord is himself peace. And where the Lord is, there is peace. Where the Lord is shut out, there is no peace. So trouble and privation abounded among God's people, whose heritage of the Lord was peace, but they had no peace. As Isaiah said centuries later, there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. And because of Israel's apostasy, they found themselves in this predicament. And we understand, we remember the rest of the story of this chapter, how the Lord commissioned Gideon, how he rallied a large army from the three tribes neighboring, and how they went to the valley of Jezreel to encamp against the Midianites, who were spread out like grasshoppers in the valley, and how God whittled down the army to, in the end, 300 men, and their weapons was a pitcher, that is a clay jar, and a torch that they put in the jar so its burning would not be seen, and a trumpet. And they surrounded the 300,000 or so Midianites. Now that did take some courage. It would take courage on my part anyway. But then in the middle of the night, they let out a shout, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon!" And they smashed the pitchers to where their lights could be seen, and they blew on their shofar trumpets, and the Midianites panicked. You know why the Midianites panicked? There were 300 lights. There were 300 shouts. There were 300 trumpets. Only the captains of thousands had those trumpets, had those torches, to command the thousand behind each one. And those Midianites thought there were 300,000 Israelites right in the midst of them in the camp. So they started killing one another in the dark. Things are not always as they seem. Things don't always turn out by strength or stratagem. But Gideon, at least for that time, had learned the lesson that the Lord is peace. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, the Apostle Paul wrote. And our Lord himself said unto his disciples in the 14th chapter of John, in verse 27, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you." He left with his own a heritage of peace. He gave them his very own peace. As you read the Gospels, one of the striking things is that in the face of great odds, in the face of danger, or in the face of great need, there stood Jesus in great aplomb, in perfect peace and in command of everything. He stood before Pilate as Pilate's judge, and Pilate marveled that he didn't speak for himself. So, even to us today, to go our own willful way is to invite problems, to invite trouble, and to come crying back to the Lord, why would this happen to me? Why? We've all of us seen this all too many times. But Jesus, who is the peace, who was the angel of the Lord, who was acknowledged by Gideon as being peace itself, he is our peace.